Chumash Bereishis, page 16 in the Stone Chumashim. We'll start top line, Pasuk Zion. Okay, story up to now. The Nachash convinced Chava to sin, to eat from the tree. Chava, as the Medrash says, did a lot of convincing to get her husband, including crying and everything, that he should also eat. The reason the Medrash says why Chava wanted Adam Rishon to eat from the tree is because she didn't want that she should die and he should be alive and God will make him another woman. Jealousy then also. So therefore she said, if I die...
Show me what it says.
The Medrash can... Okay, when she touched the tree and saw the angel of death before her and exclaimed, woe is me, I shall now die, and God will make another woman and give her to Adam. I will therefore make him eat with me. If we die together. If we live, we both live together. Medrash, Pirkei Rabbi Elazar. From Rabbi Elazar ben Hurkanis. Rabbi Elazar HaGadol. He's a fine gentleman. If the Medrash continues, by the way, he says over here, took tears and lamentation to prevail upon Adam to take the step. Okay? Not only that, she gave the fruit, the Medrash says, to all the animals also. It's a lot of fruit. And nothing happened to them. They weren't commanded not to eat it. Okay? What?
That's why you come here.
You said it, not me. Nothing happened to them because they weren't commanded not to eat it.
No mitzvahs for the other
end. Yeah, I mean, listen, when a lion rips apart another animal to eat it, yeah? Is that a sin for the lion? No, that's what it's created to do. Right? That's what they're Hashem aimed to do. That's the way they survive. Okay. So now Pasuk Zion, okay, top of the page of 16 or 17 in English. Okay, v'tipakachne enishneim, both eyes opened up, v'yedu kierumim heim, they realized they were naked. We'll see what that means in a second. Okay, v'yizbar alei te'ena, so they sewed up a piece of the fig leaf, v'yasam chagenis, they made actually aprons, they covered themselves up. Their private parts, they covered up because they realized they were naked.
With the leaf.
Well, they sewed together a leaf.
Fig leaves.
Fig leaves. Rashi just says that this whole pasuk doesn't actually mean too much sense in a simple way. Number one, even the blind person knows they're naked. So it says, Hashem opened up their eyes and they realize they're naked. And if you don't see, you don't know you're naked. I mean, of course you know you're naked. So what's the pasuk emphasize? So Rashi says what it means is, open up their find, they found out a new awareness that there's something wrong being naked. Like at the beginning, before we learned, before the Nochash, before Paragim, it says, they were naked before, just like animals are naked, right? People were naked, there was nothing wrong with them being naked. Once they ate from the Eitz Hadas, they got this understanding, or, as we explained the whole time, now they became connected to evil, and now began the whole journey, so to speak, of lust and temptations and evil and everything else. So now they realize that they were naked. Okay? Now, also, the Zohar says, what do you mean by tipakachne nishnehem? Their eyes opened up to an evil of the world that they never knew before. This is talking about a few hours, right? The whole thing sounded like it was years. The whole thing took a few hours. But the Zohar says that they had not known before. Okay? Because they, like we said, before the Eitz Hadas, good was good, bad was bad, they were not mixed, and now it became all mixed. Okay, Yeah.
We don't say after Shiva Sakhirin good and bad was mixed in this world?
No.
No?
No. after Shvi'as Hakelim, there was good and bad separate. The only thing that made good and bad mixed was the sin of Eitz Hadas. That's why the Eitz Hadas is so terrible. And like we learned many times, the Eitz Hadas, the sin of Eitz Hadas, came to the Zohar uses the expression when Adam Rishon Chava sinned Eitz Hadas, Yarda Zuhama. Zuhama is filth, like impurity. Okay? When Adam and Chava sinned, Zuhama, impurity came into the world. Matan Torah undid that. Okay, Matan Torah really undid the sin of the Eitz Hadas. What was the problem? 40 days later, the Chet Ego revived the Eitz Hadas again. So in other words, yeah, the Eitz Hadas affected in Tumah. It was a long time, 2,448 years it affected the Eitz Hadas. Then Matan Torah came, undid the Eitz Hadas completely, put back the world to a level of Kedusha before the Eitz Hadas. But the problem was, the Ego was so, that's why the sin of the Ego was so bad. Not Stam, that they did a sin. The Patera said, anytime I get angry at the Jews, I'm going to remember the sin of the Ego. Why? Because the Ego actually redid what the Eitz Hadas did. But that was only people did that. Shvi'as Hakelim, there was good and bad, but it was, again, separate. It wasn't mixed together. The Rambam Bachal says, in Meir Nevuchim, that when you say opened up eyes, it doesn't mean literally opening up eyes. You know, you say, tell people, why don't you open up your eyes and see light? You look at, you know, it's an expression of understanding. It's not the physical, the Sforna says now they started having pleasures and they knew that they were, naked. Okay. Now they understood though that because evil existed, now the private parts of a person become evil in that sense. So they did. Why did they make, it's interesting. Ibn Ezra brings down, he's very, to the cynical people, you know, there's always Bible critics. The Bible critics ask the question, how could they sew the fig leaf? Where did they get a needle from? There are no needles yet in the world. It was the first day, I mean, it's like day of creation. Where did they get needles from? So it says, the Ibn Ezra says, they cynically note that they have no needle who are foolish because any thin stick could be used for sewing. You don't need a needle to sew. How do people crochet or whatever you call that stuff, yeah? You don't have a needle, you have a stick. Actually, so you're able to do it without that. But why did they pick a fig leaf? So Gemara says, huh?
Is that how they got the fruit might have been a fig? You mentioned.
Oh, that's what the Gemara Bracha says. Rashi brings it down. Why did they, because according to Pshat of the Chumash, the Eitz Hadas was a fig tree. And therefore, the cause of the sin had to come and protect the sin. But it's like we said, but the Mefarshim explain, why does the Torah not tell us exactly which tree it was? The Torah should have told what type of tree it was. Because then people would curse that tree anytime they would see the tree, a fig tree, they'd say, oh, look at you, you did,
But the leaf from the...
One second, but the Medrash is an interesting thing. Why did they pick a fig tree? The Medrash says they actually went around to all the fruits. They went around to all the other fruits to get leaves to sew a garment. There was nothing else to, right? So every tree refused. They said, you guys sinned and you expect us to now to help you and be accomplice in the crime of sin? So every tree, the Medrash says, refused to give it. The fig tree had no choice because the fig tree was the tree of sin. So you couldn't say, I don't want to give you the... He was the sin itself. So therefore, the Medrash says, that's why he had to give, and only then nobody else would give it.
But anyway...
What?
The fig tree is very, very wide. I mean, it's a nice size leaf comparing other fruit.
Yeah, but even a fig tree is not big enough. They had to take a bunch of them together. You ever see a banana tree? The leaves of a banana tree? You know how big they are? They use them for schach, right? They're massive. Why couldn't they take those?
You think it was there?
I imagine though. It was a bunch of trees. What else did the monkeys eat? There was no banana trees. Monkeys have to eat something. Right? Monkeys eat bananas.
Coconut.
Okay, anyway. But there's another interesting lesson that Mfashim say also, and it's very interesting. Hashem didn't want people to know which tree sinned because Hashem didn't want to embarrass the tree. That people should say, you see, this is the tree that did it. So Hashem cares about the dignity. If you think about it, Hashem cares about the dignity of trees and plants, not only people. Hashem cares about the dignity of each every creature that he made. Just like we say, you know, Friday night, you cover the challah, not to embarrass the wine. Shouldn't the, what are you talking about? Embarrassing a loaf of bread? Come on. Nevertheless, think about it. It's remarkable, this stuff. Hashem says, you know what? A piece of bread, challah, is still a creation of Hashem. It's still an entity. And therefore, we don't embarrass it. So if you're going to make Kiddush, and the Kiddush is going to embarrass the wine, so you cover the challah that it shouldn't get embarrassed. You think about it. God cares about the dignity and honor and respect of every single one of his creations. Even if it's not humans or animals or whatever it may be. Okay. By Yisrael, they say now they sew together fig leaf. By Yasalem, Chageres, they made aprons. Okay, so next pasuk says, this is a very interesting pasuk. By Yishmo, as Kerel Hashem, Elokim, Esalech, Bagon. They heard the voice, the sound of Hashem, manifesting, literally means walking in the garden. The ruach hayom towards evening. Vayischabe ha'adam ve'ishtei, and Adam and his wife hid b'pnei Hashem alakim from Hashem b'tech etzagan in the garden. Okay. Now, what does this pasuk mean? What do you mean they heard the sound of Hashem? It means all of a sudden they heard a sound that they never heard it before. It's a unique sound. And they heard the sound of Hashem. Okay, now, why, again, and this is another remarkable thing. It says in the Medrash, why did God Hashem make the voice? Why didn't he just pop down to them? You know, when Aaron and Miriam complained against Moshe Rabbeinu, why only, God speaks to us too? And also it says Hashem came down to them and they were impure and they were screaming, Mikveh, mikveh. Hashem could have done the same thing to Adam. He could have come to Adam Rishon and come and embarrass him. What did Hashem do? He made noises that they should hear that Hashem is coming, that they gave him time to hide from Hashem. First of all, you can't hide from Hashem. You ain't learned that the hard way in the stomach of the whale. You can't hide from Hashem, okay? But the bottom line is, why did God care that he made a voice and gave them the opportunity to hide? And again, the Mefarshim explain, here are guys, Hashem just made them, he gave them one mitzvah, they blew it, and Hashem still did not want to embarrass them. Hashem still did not want to embarrass them. Hashem made that he should give them a warning that they should go hide, and they were able to hide. It's another remarkable thing. Also, the Radak says that from here we learn a din. You don't, you know, sometimes people get embarrassed and disgraced. You know, some people always like to stare at them. Torah etiquette says when somebody's being disgraced, don't look at them. It's not nice. It's not respectable. It's not respectful. It's not respectful. Just don't do it. And that's what Hashem did over here also. Adam and Eve and Chava were embarrassed. They realized they were naked. And they put on this little apron that wasn't enough to cover them. And they heard the sound of Hashem. Okay? Now, what does it mean, L'ruach HaYom? Okay, it was west towards evening sun. And they sinned in the 10th hour. Or when the breeze is... Why does the pasuk emphasize L'ruach HaYom in the breeze of the day? Because that makes, it's very practical. A breeze carries the voice. So they're able to hear the voice because the breeze was carrying the voice of Hashem going in the garden. Now, what's interesting over here, this is a medrash which is brought down in many places in Chassidus. The medrash says it should have said mehalech bagan, going in the garden. Mishalech, the medrash says in Hebrew, means kafet v'ozel, kafet v'ozel. The Shekhinah was actually jumping. Mishalech, the medrash defines to mean it was jumping in the garden. And the medrash says about, on this pasuk, the following. There are seven heavens and earth. When Adam and Chava sinned, Bayishma Kol Hashem Elokim Mishalech Bagan, the Shekhinah jumped off the earth and went up to the first heaven. The Shekhinah said, you drove me out of here. You sinned. You drove the Shekhinah into Golus. The Medrash says, the Divine Presence left the world and went to the first heaven. When Cain killed Hevel, it went to the second heaven. There are seven Avedas, the Enish, the Mabel. The Medrash enumerates all seven.
So
the seven sins, he didn't take the elevator. He didn't take the elevator or the escalator. You know why? They didn't have it then.
Hashem jumped, or whatever, from first floor to the seventh floor.
Second, and the next sin to the third, and then. This is a Medrash, not me. Then the Medrash says, V'achek ach omdu shiva tzadikim. It's brought down all the Basi Laganis, okay? V'achek ach omdu shiva tzadikim. And then the seven tzadikim got up, and they brought the Shekhinah back down to earth. Avram brought it from 7 to 6, Yitzchak 6 to 8. From Avram Avinu was Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Levi, Kohas, Amram, and Moshe. Huh? You know the publication company of Chabad?
Thank you so much. Yeah. I really appreciate
that. Moshe's grandfather. Levi had a son.
What?
Levi had three sons. Hello. Gershon, Kohas, and Merari. Yes? That's what it says in the book. Yeah? Kohas was the father of Amram, who was the father of Moshe Rabbeinu. So from Avram Avinu until Moshe Rabbeinu, were seven generations. So the Medrash says, the same Medrash, just like the seven sins caused the Shekhinah to leave further away from the world, so the seven tzaddikim brought the Shekhinah back down to earth. Until Moshe Rabbeinu, the Medrash says, Shehu Ashvi, who is the seventh, V'chol Ashvi in Chaviv, and we know all seven are precious, seventh day is Shabbos, seventh month is Tishrei, seventh year is Shemitah, seventh Shemitah is Yovel. We find in Kedusha, the Medrash says, all seven are Choshev. So because Moshe Rabbeinu was the seventh generation from Avraham Avinu, he brought, by Matan Torah, he brought the Shekhinah back down to earth. But Chassidus explains, it's self-understood, even though we're not talking about measurements of space, but from heaven to heaven is less of a jump than from earth to heaven. This is all the realm of heaven, though. Okay, one second there. From earth to heaven is a bigger jump both ways, leaving it and coming back down. Therefore, it took the big sin of the Eitz Hadas to get the Shekhinah to leave the earth, and then already the other sins just kept it further and further away. And then Moshe Rabbeinu, because he was the seventh, but by Matan Torah, Hashem came back down to the earth. That's why we said it undid the Chet Eitz Hadas, but the problem is they sinned in the Egel, so it redid itself. Okay, so this is what the Medrash says, because of this word, Mishalech Bagan. The Medrash says it should have said Mahalech Leinemar, Ela Mishalech. The Medrash says Kofetz V'Ozel, the Hashem was actually jumping away from the world. V'Yitzchabe Adam V'Ishtoi, Adam and his wife hid, Mipnei Hashem Elokim. Okay? Now, why did they hide? Obviously, they were caught. They were caught by the teacher, right? God's catching them. He's coming to admonish them. All of a sudden, they heard it. Okay? Now, what does it mean? It says, they hid Mipnei Hashem Elokim. Okay? What does it mean, Mipnei Hashem Elokim? Shem Shem Falher says it means that they lost their status of greatness. They had to hide from Hashem because they felt they're not fit for the Kedusha of Hashem. Where did they hide? In the trees of the... They hid in the tree in the forest. Okay? So the Barbanel says, what's interesting over here, we just learned like this. According to Pshat, it was the fig tree. That's why they made aprons out of fig. And therefore, it says they hid betoich eitz hagan, singular. Not atzei hagan. Eitz means singular, means one tree hid them. Again, no tree wanted to hide them. Because you guys, you know, you sinned. The only one tree that was able to hide them is actually the eitz hadas, the tree they sinned from. And that was able to hide them. Okay? Yes.
Adam or Chavit think to themselves that maybe Hashem's plan was completely like changed, and that possibly there would be like another world now, or like they would be removed from the world, or like didn't.
You're asking me what they thought when they hid?
Like, what were they thinking that would happen to the world?
They didn't know. One thing they knew, they did something wrong. They didn't know what the outcome of it was going to be. Before the pasuk says, when they were warned, Hashem said, the day you eat from the tree, Hashem did warn them that the day you eat it, they're going to die. Now what's going to be afterwards? Will he create another Adam and Chava? Will he create this? I don't know if they knew. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't.
Even if their souls would live forever, or...
They didn't know. I mean, in simple meaning, I don't know what they knew, it wasn't there. But in simple meaning, they didn't know what was going to happen. That's why they hid, to see what.
Is there any connection between seven heavens to the Sephirot of Malchus or Asherio?
Sure. Yeah, it's all connected. It's all connected.
Where they fit in the Sephirot?
Earth is Malchus, and then each heaven is a...
Still, Hashem is here, right?
And Him is there. Yeah. And
everywhere. Yeah.
So, then
go to the seventh, come back here.
How many miles up is the seventh heaven?
God knows.
You have to go to the space station, or it's below the space station? Where are the seven heavens? It's a physical or a spiritual? Okay, spiritual means it's here too, right? Spirit doesn't mean 100 miles or 500 miles up is one heaven. It doesn't mean that. Obviously, it's spiritual dimensions. We said a million times, when you say somebody has a deep head, yeah?
Yes.
Somebody has a deep head, how many feet deep is it? Or you say somebody has a big heart. You know, God forbid, if somebody has a big heart, they can die? Okay. When you say somebody has a big heart, does it mean physically big? No. Right? So certain things are measured with physical measurements. An ocean is measured with feet and miles and whatever it is. Right? A pit is measured in depth with a ruler. And the depth of the mind... Or the big heart is not measured with a ruler. It means a deep head. It's a spiritual dimension we use physically because we have no other language to use for it. Okay? So therefore, when you say the heavens are up there, it doesn't mean they're a million miles up. Now, what does it mean? But you're asking the good point. What does it mean that God left the world and went to first heaven, second heaven? So let's preface it by, I didn't want to go into this now, but we'll go into it. I'm bored anyway. Okay, so let's go into a different thing. When the Beis HaMikdash was built, yeah, where was God's home? In the Beis HaMikdash, yes? Yes? Okay, especially in the Holy of Holies, yeah, okay. Is God all over the world or not? So what in the world is the difference between God in the Beis HaMikdash or in here? What is the difference? What does that mean? Okay, you said a word, let's define it. The Beis HaMikdash was holy. Okay? Is God not in a holy place? Is God in a place of evil?
Yes.
If God's not there, there is no existence there. Correct? Okay, so what does it mean God is more in the Beis HaMikdash than he is here? What does it mean? This is God's home, and this isn't Hashem's home. What does it mean? The answer is, Hashem is all over the place equally. Mole chol ha'aretz kvayde means, mole, fill. Torah says the word, it means what it means, not what we say, we don't mean what we say. Mole fills, kol ha'aretz, the entire earth, kvayde with his glory. Now, if God's glory is all over the place, what was unique about the Beis HaMikdash? So what it means is, in very simple English, God is equally all over the place. But godliness is revealed. Godliness is seen more in the Beis HaMikdash than in the rest of the world. Like we just read in last week's Pirkei Avos, in the fifth parak, in the Beis HaMikdash there are 10 constant miracles. There are more, but the Mishnah mentions 10, right? What does it mean, miracles? Miracles, a miracle happens, you see open godliness. That doesn't mean God is not in nature, and God is only in miracles. The only difference between miracles and nature, it's all the same thing. God is revealed. When a miracle happens, you say, wow, it's the hand of Hashem. Yad Hashem. When it's regular nature, it's the same God running the world. But you don't see it because it's so common and so happening, constant happening. So you don't see it as something unique, something special. Shem is all over the world. The question, how much is he revealed? In the Beis HaMikdash, Hashem was revealed. That's why it's called the home, yeah, Bayis Hashem. What does home mean? Let me tell you a little secret. If you want to know who a person really is, it's the way they behave at home, not in the street. Okay, because in the street, we have to eat accordingly, and dress accordingly, and behave accordingly, because everybody's watching us. Right? At home, especially if nobody's home, you act the way you want. You'll drink from a bottle, right? The men do. The men will drink from a bottle at home when nobody's looking. In the street, they're not going to drink from a 2.5 liter, 2 liter bottle. It doesn't look nice. So in the street, they're not going to do it. So in the street, it's all a show. They're not acting the way they really are. It's all a facade. It's a cover-up. It's a show. It's acting. At home, you act the way you really are. You know, there are many people, there's not a shown bias class, but there are many people, especially men, in the street, they're wonderful people, and at home they're animals, monsters. And there are people that at home, they're wonderful people, and in the street they're monsters. Okay? Which one is the real, shows who the real person is? It's better to be, in shown bias, it's better to be a monster in the street, and nice at home than the other way. Why? Because at home is the real you. At home is the real you. It's not a show. I'm going to show I'm powerful, I'm might, and that can control you, that being a monster. At home is the real person. You reveal yourself the way you really are. When you say the Beis HaMikdash is Hashem's home, it means, in simple language, simple definition, Chassidus explains, and this is where Chassidus is phenomenal, because it takes these aspects of Torah and explains in a way that brains can get it. Yeah, what it is God in the Beis HaMikdash revealed himself as is. He was not hidden by nature. He was not concealed by nature. He wasn't limited by nature. In the Beis HaMikdash, God did miracles. He revealed himself the way he really wants to be, without the confines of nature. Out of the Beis HaMikdash, God is not as revealed. Therefore, you don't see miracles that much. Correct? When you say the Shekhinah was on the earth, That means those, the divine presence revealed, godliness was revealed in the world. God went a little bit further from the world. What does it mean? Not that he went 10 miles up, he took the birds or the other company and drove the scooters. Yeah, what it means is Hashem concealed himself. Then another sin caused God to conceal himself more and more and more until he went up to the seventh heaven. He's completely concealed. Take a light. Put a light on the table. Big bulb, yeah? It's light all over the place. Yes? And not only that, but, okay, the place closest to the light has more light than the place further away from the light. That's a given. But it's the same light, a little bit less. Yes? Same light, a little bit less. But take the bulb and put a blanket on it. It darkens the light. It's not that now you have a little less light. You have much less light. A different type of a light. Then you could take 10 blankets and it could be so covered that you don't have any light. That doesn't mean the bulb is not there. The bulb is still shining. The problem is there's too many covers. It gets to a point you don't even know, think there's light there. When Hashem, through the various Avedas, especially the Chetei Tzadas, so Hashem actually checked out of the heaven, of the earth. That means he's not revealed there anymore. There was no Kedusha. Another sin happened that caused Hashem to go even further away, and further away, and further away. To the extent, all the way up there, there was no Kedusha left on earth. Then the seven tzaddikim came and brought it back down. Until Moshe Rabbeinu, through Matan Torah, brought the Shekhinah back down on earth. So that's what the Medrash says over here. Vayishma kol Hashem Elokim misalech bagon. Hashem was actually jumping away from the earth because of the sin. Okay, next pasuk is also very interesting. The famous story of the Alter Rebbe with this pasuk. Vayikra Hashem Elokim al Adam. Hashem called Adam and said to him, Ayaka, where are you? Okay. The Babinel asked, why didn't he call both of them? So Vayikra Hashem Elokim al Adam. It should have said al Adam v'ishtay, right? Like the pasuk says, Vayischabe Adam v'ishtay, right? They were naked. They're Adam v'ishtay. Every time, all of a sudden, Hashem's calling to Adam. So the Babinel says, because he was the one that was commanded on it, not her. He was commanded to tell what, but who was commanded directly from God not to eat from the tree? It was Adam and Ish, and so Hashem called him. Another thing is with women, the Torah says you have to be more gentle. Or gentler, so Hashem didn't want to, okay. Hashem says to Mayaka, where are you? Okay? So, the Mefarshim all ask the question, Rashi brings it down, everybody asks the question, doesn't God know where he is? Mayaka, where are you? Okay? So Rashi says, of course, God knew where he was, but just to open a conversation, it was like an icebreaker. You know, how do you open a conversation? What do you think God's going to come to him and say, hey, you sinner, come here? Hashem says, where are you? You know, why are you hiding? I don't see you. That's the simple meaning. Another thing Targum Yonasan says is not all the world I created as well as light. In other words, Hashem said to him, how can you hide from me? He said to Mayaka, where are you? Why are you hiding? Hashem knew obviously he was hiding. But Hashem said to him, why are you hiding? You don't think I know where you are? Okay? Another thing is, Sam, look, Ayaka, where are you? Look where you were and look where you fell down from. Okay? Another interesting moral lesson you learn from this. When somebody is guilty, before you charge them with the guilt, ask them for the explanation why they did. Maybe they have a legitimate explanation. Hashem didn't come to Adam and Ish and say, hey, you ate from the tree. He didn't come and tell them that. He said, where are you? In other words, obviously you know that I know that you did something wrong, but I'm not condemning you. Where are you? Let me hear what you have to say. Maybe you can defend yourself. Maybe you had a good excuse. Even though, by the way, there's a story with the previous Rebbe called in a chassid, and he told him to do a certain job. And the chassid didn't do it. The previous Rebbe calls him back and says, why didn't you do what I asked you? He said, excuse A, B, C, D. Give him a whole bunch of excuses. The previous Rebbe said to him, it's also a very powerful word. The Friedrich Rebbe said to him, okay, I asked you a question, you gave me an answer, but guess what? It still wasn't done. Okay, you have a cop-out excuse, but bottom line is, it wasn't done. So what do you give me excuses? In Hebrew, for the Hebrews here, the word for excuse in Hebrew is amatla, right? Amatla is an excuse. It says in Svarim, what is it? In Torah, it's also not only in the modern Ivrit, but in Torah, an excuse is called amatla. So it says, the Rebbe said, it says in Svarim, amatla is two words, emet, lo. It's not truth. Any excuse, emet, lo, it's not the emes, it's false. Okay? So, but nevertheless, Hashem said, gave him an opportunity. It's so interesting the way, so many things you learn out from the simple words of the Pasuk, you're learning how to be a mensch. Number one, you give him opportunity to hide. You give him an opportunity to, you know, everything. And then Hashem says, before I judge you, obviously Hashem didn't need any witnesses. He could have just rattled off the punishment. But instead Hashem said, defend yourself. Ayaka, where are you? Okay? That's the simple meaning of the word ayek, okay? Now, like the Mepharshim was saying, only to initiate a conversation with him, or other Mepharshim say, we just said, oh yeah, well, yeah.
This is also the same word that's used in Yitzhak Asabram, where is the lamp?
He didn't say ayek, he said ayeya sala'ila. Where is it? Ayek means where are you? When the Altrebbe was in prison, in the Yutus Kislev story. The Altrebbe is the famous, famous story. The Altrebbe was in prison, and all the Russian officers, from the government, heard about the brilliance of the Altrebbe. They all wanted to come to have conversations with him, the Russian officials. One of them came into the Altrebbe, a guy, and he says to him, can I ask you a question? He says, yes. So the guy says to the Altrebbe, when God asked Adam and Eve, Ayeka, where are you? Didn't God know where they are? So the Altrebbe answered what Rashi answers, just to get into a conversation, you know, an opening verse. So the guy said to the Altrebbe, I know that. I want to hear something deeper. So the Altrebbe looked at him and he said the following. The question, Ayeka, is a question God asks every human being. What does the pasuk say? Vayikra Hashem Elokim el ha'adam. Oh, by the way, ha'adam is not only Jews, it refers to goyim. Adam is only Jews, ha'adam is even goyim. God asks the question of every single Jew, Ayaka, where are you in life? Are you doing what you're supposed to be doing? And Alt Rebbe turned to me and said, for instance, you are this and this age. And Alt Rebbe told him exactly how old he was. And Alt Rebbe said, God is asking you the question individually. Ayaka, what did you accomplish for the years that you lived? Where are you? Vubisto, you know, where are you in the status of life? Are you where you really should be? And that's the story that then the Rebbe explains at great length in the talks and the sikhas. This is actually, God is asking of a person, what did you accomplish in life? Did you accomplish what you should have, could have, and had to? Did you or didn't you? So the question God is asking every single person, not only Jew Goy, Ayaka, where are you in life? Did you accomplish what you're supposed to be accomplishing? Which is a very powerful question. Okay, so what did he say? So Adam Rishon answered, "As kelecha shamati bagan, I heard your voice in the garden." Okay. In other words, Adam Rishon understood not Ayaka, where are you hiding? You know, Ayaka simply means, where are you? But obviously you see from other Marishan's answer, he didn't say where he was. He should have said middle of the garden, the trees, yeah. He said, he understood God's question was not, where are you hiding? But why are you hiding? Why are you hiding, asked. Not where you're, God knew where he was hiding, but God is asking him a different question. Why are you hiding? What are you embarrassed of? What did you do wrong? You know, there's a famous story in Yiddish. It's called "If Ganef Brande Hittel," and the Ganef the Al Rosh Hagav. Yeah, and the head of the Ganef, the head is, the cap is burning. Where did this expression come from? They tell a story that the guy, somebody stole something. And it was one of a group of people, and nobody was able to find out which one it was. So they went to the Rav to try to find out who was the one that did it. So the Rav, all of a sudden, out of the clear blue, says, the hat on the thief's head is burning. So one of them went like this. So he said, you're the Ganef. You know, that's the expression. You know, the guy that's guilty is the one that says, no, not me. You know, when you want to know something, especially with kids, who did it? Not me. You know, that's the first sign that the guy did it. So Hashem said to him, Ayaka, where are you? So he says, listen, I'll tell you the truth. Hashem, Kelech Shamati Bagan, I heard your voice in the garden. Va'ira, and I was afraid, ki era manechi ve'chove, because I was naked, and I hid. Okay, so therefore he said like this. The question is, what do you mean he's naked? He made an apron out of fig leaves. Why does he say I'm naked? He wasn't naked anymore. So obviously the Mefarshim explained, the Chizkuni says that the apron they made covered a very minimal part. He was still basically naked. He wasn't dressed properly. But, okay, so now, this is the way people work, okay? And this is the way Torah teaches how people work. By the way, Adam did not admit guilt yet. He's just said, "Where? Why am I hiding? Because I realized I was naked." He still didn't confess his sin. He hid out of modesty. Yeah? He's telling God, when he did something wrong, he says, God says, why did you hide? He says, I'm a modest person. I wasn't sneers. You know, I have to hide it because I wasn't dressed properly. Which again, the Barbanel says, is again the fault of a human being that they don't admit that they did something wrong. He says, I hid out of shame. Okay. So Hashem said to him, so Hashem pressed on. Who told you you're naked? Hamin ha'et asher tzivisicha levilti achol mimenu acholta. Did you eat from the tree that I commanded you not to eat? Because, as the Malbim explains, if he didn't eat from the tree, nakedness was an embarrassment. He doesn't have to, before he ate from the tree, yeah, God was talking to him, he was naked. Right? He didn't hide. He wasn't embarrassed. So God said to him, obviously, you had to eat from the tree. Because if you didn't eat from the tree, you wouldn't be shamed by being naked because it wasn't a shame before. It wasn't improper, immodest before the tree. So again, why did he ask him? God didn't come to him and say, you ate from the tree. Hashem said, did you eat from the tree? Again, to give him a way out. Maybe there was an excuse. Maybe whatever. But Hashem did it. He wanted that Adam HaRishon should confess his sin. That's what he wanted. You did something wrong? Say, I'm sorry. Say, I did something wrong. And people, the nature of human beings, the story is, you know, get out of it this way. It's not me. And B'chla, we're going to learn that Adam blamed the wife. The wife blamed the snake. The snake. This is so human nature. Everybody blames everybody else except themselves. But by the way, the Torah is teaching us it's wrong. Not that this is good. The Torah is telling us all these things that people do actually are wrong. Okay, I mean, by the way, you know, it's a very interesting thing. The Gemara asks the question, where do we have Mordechai in the Torah? Where do we have Esther in the Torah? And the Gemara says in Megillah, where do we have Haman in the Torah? So the Gemara answers from this pasuk, Hamin ha'etz. Haman. Hamin is Haman. And the eight is the tree that Haman to kill Mordechai. And the eight is the Chetei Tzedas, the source of evil. Haman was Amalek, the evil. So the Gemara says, the source, where do we find Haman? In the Torah, from this pasuk, Hamin ha'etz. From Haman, it's from the tree that I commanded you to do. Okay, again, Hashem wanted Adam Rishon, the Medrash says, to do tshuva. Okay, so what is going on over here? Hashem said to him, how low did you become? Okay? Until now, Hashem said, this is what the Medrash says. Until now, Hashem says to Adam, you were controlled by me. Now you're controlled by a snake. I mean, how far can you fall, so to speak, Hashem says. Okay? Lost their innocence and purity and all that. Okay. So what did Adam say to Hashem? He said like this. When I was alone, I didn't sin against you. Blame. Adam Rishon says to God, listen, when I was alone, did I sin? No. Look, you made me a wife. I started sinning. Life didn't change from then yet, huh? The Baal HaTurim says, Hamina, he says like this, it should have said, Hamina eats, he should have answered, what's the next part of it? He should have asked, yeah, I ate mimenu. But what does he say? He nasli min ha'etz v'ayichal. I ate from the stick, from the tree. So basically, Adam Rishon says, we're going to continue this next week. Adam Rishon said to God, she hit me with a stick and had no choice. I'm in ha'etz. She hit me with a stick. In other words, basically, he's blaming Chava for it. Which, by the way, okay, well, I'm not getting, it's too late to get into now. Next week we'll discuss how bad of a moral character is to blame everybody else for your sin except yourself. It's one of the weaknesses, by the way, of a human being. Instead of accepting the responsibility for our actions, we blame everybody else. We blame society, we blame my neighbors, we blame the media, we blame whatever it is. Everybody blames everybody else except themselves. And the weakness of a human being that Hashem is screaming at Adam Rishon is, why aren't you taking responsibility yourself instead of blaming everybody else? And, as we say in America, to be continued. Thank you. Next week, the shiur is going to begin probably 8:15, maybe even earlier.